Do you have your maps, Al? Do you have your maps there, as Kirby would call them? And the maps come in all shapes and sizes. We've provided a nice black one there in your chair, if you'd like. You can use that and turn to 2 Timothy. We just have one verse that we're just going to open up, and I'm going to blow it open, and then we'll have the rest of the week to explore it as homework. So, 2 Timothy, I think it's 995, page 995. Is that where 2 Timothy is in the black in the chair Bibles? Is that right? Yes. Am I good? Brandon, we got it? 995? Or somewhere else if you have a different Bible. 2 Timothy, we're just going to read the first chapter, verse 7. Second Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, or a sound mind. Those of you King James people, of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word that tells us that we can come boldly to your throne, Lord, and ask. And speak, and sit, and listen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're a God of love, and of power, and of a sound mind, and of a self-control, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, so we open our hearts, and our ears, and our minds to your word this morning, Lord. Teach us, strengthen us, encourage us, Lord. Heal us by your very word. Amen. Amen. Are you ready for this? Well, this is exciting. I so badly wanted to do this last week, to get into this verse. If you remember last week, Paul opening words to Timothy in his final letter to young Timothy. This is the final letter we have of Paul. His last words, if you will. And we find last week in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, he reminds Timothy of a few things. And we spoke about that he says, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Namely, that we have a gift or gifts that he's given us, these spiritual gifts, not talents, but they're, as we would call them, charisma. They're a gift. We have them. Also that they can die down and go dormant, and also that they can be revived and stirred and awakened again. So wherever we find ourselves, whether your gift is blazing hot right now or it's gone to sleep or the fire has gone dim, he says, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. And then also he reminded him that hands are for giving. We call people forward to pray for DJ and for Joe in the laying on of hands, the impartation. Paul spoke to Timothy about both of those things. The gift is in you because of the laying on of my hands. And then thirdly, in verse 7, he says, Timothy, I have the cure for cowardice. I have the cure for cowardice. In verse 7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. As I looked at that, we have to know, and let's not overread, that God gave. Did you see that? Does your Bible say that? For God gave us. Timothy, you didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to conjure it up. You didn't have to work at it. God gave it. God gives to us, doesn't he? Does he give to us? We just sang about it. It's a wonderful truth that God gives. And we thought when we spoke those few weeks on generosity, we had to remember that all of our giving and really all that we do has to spring out of what God has given. We give because He has given to us. We serve because He has given to us. Everything we do has to come from that. And then Paul does a wonderful thing. He says, listen, God gave you a spirit, and it's not this, but it's this. He draws a contrast. He didn't have to. He could have just said, listen, God gave you a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. But he says, but no, it's not of fear. Isn't that what everyone, probably many of us, have heard this verse? You know, your kids are scared at night. You say, well, listen, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, did he? And we'll pray for them. However, as we unpack this, that's not exactly what Paul says here. He says, Timothy, the spirit you received is not marked by fear. Now, fear in the New Testament, there's 12 Greek root words for the word fear that's translated into the English fear. There's 12 of them, 12 different ones, 12 different ways that it's used in the Greek. Deleia is the Greek word here. It's used one time, and it's right here. Deleia, it means cowardice. It means timidity. Some of your translations say, you were not given a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and of self-control or self-discipline or however your translation goes. What Paul's saying here is that that word fear is a fear caused by the lack of moral strength. Young Timothy, timid Timothy, as we said last week. He didn't give you a spirit of cowardice. It didn't give you a spirit of timidity. He didn't give you a spirit of fear because of a lack of inner moral strength. Or one of the Bible dictionaries says it's a shameful state of fear from a lack of courage. So fear here does not mean being afraid or fearing something or someone. That's 48 times that's used in the New Testament. It's not that. And it's not phobu, which is used 27 times, which we get the word phobia or terror from. It's not how he's using it here. It's cowardice, it's timidity caused by an inner struggle in a moral conflict. It's directly used, and I'm not even going to spill over into verse 8, except this. We'll read part of it. The word fear that he uses here is directly applied to his use of ashamed in verse 8. Therefore, he continues his thought, therefore, don't be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the testimony and of me that's in chains. The word ashamed is tied to the word fear that he's using there. It denotes a fear of embarrassment, that one's expectations may prove false. It's a fear of humiliation is what it is. That's the word ashamed. Didn't give you a spirit of fear, therefore, don't be ashamed. It's all about me, is this fear. All about fear. At the core of this fear that he's challenging him and saying, the spirit that you were given is not about fear. And that fear is rooted in pride. Follow this. I don't want to look stupid. That's the spirit of that's that spirit of cowardice or timidity. Well, I don't want to look stupid if I say this. I don't want to be embarrassed. How many like to be embarrassed? Nobody likes to be embarrassed. When I was in high school, I hated speaking publicly because my face would turn red. Now, it still does, probably from time to time, but you get over it. But as soon as they would look at me, I would turn red, then they'd all say, oh, your face would turn red, and then it would be all embarrassment. It's just a horrible cycle. And many of you are like, yes, I get that. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to look stupid. I want everyone to think well of me. So there's a fear, and then being ashamed comes in. And Paul says, listen, the spirit that you were given is not marked by that. It's not. Because that is all about me and not about him. I don't want to look stupid. I want to be liked. What it does is it causes us to be cowardly and timid. We don't act a certain way. We don't say a certain way. We don't live a certain way because deep down we don't want the embarrassment or the humiliation that may be attached to it. But if you go back and read all of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, all tried to distract Jesus from the ultimate humiliation on the cross. And it's because of his humiliation that we can sing what we sing. Go back and study it. That we can't get into all of that. And Paul's coming in here now and saying, I'm going to remind you of a few things. You have a gift. Stir it up. And it's because I've laid hands on you in the spirit that you've given. It's not about timidity. It's not about being cowardice. It's about power, love, and of a sound mind. So you say, well, what kind of spirit is this? What marks the spirit of God? Power, love, and of a sound mind. Fear? No. All wretched up? No, that's not the spirit that you received. It says, Timothy, listen, the spirit you received is not marked by cowardice, timidity, hiding in the shadows, kind of living a gray life. It's not the spirit you were given, buddy. You're in the wrong assignment if that's what you want. Live in gray. No, not at all. See, and incidentally, I'll give you a really good way this manifests itself in a local church. And Rich and I were talking about this last weekend, and it hit me. Like, that's it. That's a piece of this. How it manifests itself in this church, any local body of Christians, is the lack of authenticity. The lack of being real. See, we love to sing and read and think about that I might know him. All the words of Paul, that I might know him, that I might know Jesus. But we shrink back and we hate the thought of that you might know me or that I might really know you, right? Which we call fellowship. Okay, that's a really important thing in the body of Christ, but we're just discovering that here at City View. It's knowing and being known. The spirit of fear causes us to hide. It causes us to be false. Not being known, not being open, because at the core of it is, if I'm real, they won't like me. So I sit in my life group and I think, I can't possibly share who I really am. I can't possibly step out of the shadows because Charles and Tanya might talk about me when they drive home. I know they wouldn't. Yeah, you're not helping, Tanya. That's not helpful because you're just confirming it. They're like, yeah. So I sit there in my life group and I wonder why I'm frustrated and I don't change and I can't be real. That's a spirit of fear. That's the spirit of fear, exactly, right here. That's what he's talking about. I'm not scared of Charles and Tanya, like they don't frighten me, like, not really. Underlying that fear is that to be known, they would reject me. It's a humiliation. Paul says, listen, like, that's not the spirit we were given here. That's not at all. So you got to have, we can't camp there, but you wonder, well, then how did we get to such a sorry state in the church? Why are we all fake? Isn't that the big gripe that we have about each other? Oh, they're just fake. Or they say about us from the outside in. It's because we bought into the spirit of fear. Now, we have to warm up, and the Lord will set us free in that. In life groups, we will be faced with it every other week if you're faithful in going. Am I really going to trust? Am I really going to risk stepping out of the shadows in this? That they would actually love me despite what I am, despite what I may wrestle with? We could go on and on there. Paul says that's not kingdom normal. That's not life in the kingdom. That's not kingdom normal. We think it is, but it's not. That's not normal life in the kingdom. He says, Timothy, the kingdom normal is marked by this, a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. There it is. Power, dunamis in the Greek. Power, dunamis, supernatural power, miraculous power is the word that he uses here. Let's get away from the bad. We stay there long enough. The fear, the humiliation, the cowardiceness. That's not it. Not that, but this. What is it? Power, dunamis, miraculous, supernatural power. That's the spirit that you're given, Timothy. That's the reality that we live in. Supernatural power, miraculous power. Acts 1:8 says, "When you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So he says, you were given a spirit. Well, Acts 1:8 confirms that because Jesus says, well, when you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, which will do what? It will compel you to be witnesses all over the world. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and we sang it, I love it, we're going to sing it at the end. Can we do that? That he filled me with the Holy Ghost, he filled us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but of power, of a giving power, of not hiding the message, but being witnesses. Acts 1:8 illustrates this perfectly. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, receive power. The Holy Spirit coming upon you, this power, it crushes fear and timidity. It crushes it. And he says, listen, it crushes it so much that you will then go and give my message to all people, which was incredibly unbelievable at that time. Just read a little further when the thought of even going to Samaria freaked them out. Like, the message is for them? Yes. So the Holy Spirit comes, power. Romans 8:11, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. This is the power of God given to us. The power of God. That's the first mark of the Spirit. Second one is love. Let me just love that. Agape. Love. That's the word he uses here. Agape. Dunamis power. Agape love. That's the love Christ loves us with. That's the love that exudes from God himself. It's the God love. Agape. The most pure form of love. This is the what marks the spirit we've been given. Not only miraculous power, but supernatural love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ controls us, because one has died, therefore we all die. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave himself for us. This is the love of God given for us. Power of God given for us, the love of God given for us. And then the last one, the third one that he gives, the third characteristic of the Spirit that we've been given. It's power, love, and of self-control, or some translations are a sound mind. The word is sophronismos. Look it up. But at the core, as I just sat on this and said, Lord, what are you saying in this? That word is used, the word that's used here is in a picture. I try to make it, self-control is such a hard, we don't understand that quite. A sound mind sounds cool, it rolls off your tongue, but we're not really sure what that means. But at the root of this, it means the advice for making wise decisions, sensible behavior, maturity, divine wisdom. It's a mature wisdom. It's a knowledge that's matured to make wise decisions. That's why you get, well, he's of a sound mind. He's self-controlled. That's kind of where those translations come from. And so many times, that's worked out in community. That's worked out here. Because we're not an island to ourselves, are we? I want to make just a couple observations about this. First of all, as we read this, if you're looking at verse 7, notice the ands, A-N-D-S, ands, the ands. He gave us not of fear, no, not of, we know well about fear and humiliation, and but of power and love and of a sound mind. They're ands. So I like to go to Panera once in a while for lunch. Anybody else like to go to Panera's for lunch? Oh, I have a story. I can't. But you go to the menu at lunch and you say, I like the pick two, right? You can get a half a sandwich and a soup. And I get the same thing every time. So that's all I know they have for lunch is you pick two. Oh, I get to pick two. Paul's saying, listen, you don't get to pick two. You don't get to pick one. It comes all together. You get three. You can't pick one and not have the other two and still call it the Spirit of God. Okay? This was revelation to me as I studied. I went, whoa, this is really good. But how often do we like to pick one? Or do we like to pick two? But Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's not fear, it's this, power and love in a sound mind. It's all three. Now, suppose for a moment, follow me on this briefly. Suppose for a moment that we just focused on power. The Spirit of God is power. Oh, we love the power of God, don't we? But we don't have the love of God, and we don't have the wisdom of God. We don't have the self-control. What do we have? And some of you may be thinking, a face may pop into your mind of this person. You may know them. They may be in your family, and they may be sitting next to you. They're all about the power of God, but they're not, I don't know anything about the love of God, and they don't certainly aren't mature. But we would never say that. Okay, you got the picture? Suppose that happened. Do you know what that is as I looked at this? That's the spirit of Antichrist. And let me tell you why. It's the spirit of anti-Messiah. One of the marks of the Antichrist coming into the earth is what? Miraculous power. But no love. And certainly no self-control. No divine wisdom. No wisdom from God. It's the power that will attract people. But Paul's saying, listen, no, that's only one. You can't just pick one. Where's the other two? Oh, well, that's the Antichrist spirit. Okay? Focus on gifts, the power gifts, but not on the fruit. Watch out for that. Power, no fruit, is not the Spirit of God. Okay. And it's much more fun to wield gifts of power than it is to love your neighbor, isn't it? And sometimes it's a lot easier because we don't seem to have the fellowship down. If we knew each other at the heart, these things would all be safeguarded. But we love the outward, we love the wow. And so we're drawn in to it. Paul says, that's not the spirit you were given. Let's suppose then that we went after love. We went after love, but we had no wisdom and self-control, and we had no power. Flip over to 2 Timothy 3. Just flip the page, maybe one page. 2 Timothy 3, and we have a description of this very thing. Well, I'm all about love. 3:2. 2 Timothy 3:2. We're going to get to this, and this is an ugly chapter. Talking about godlessness in the last days, this is the spirit of the last days, characterized by nothing but talk of love. Okay? For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Disobedient to their parents? That's interesting. Ungrateful, unholy. I'll just pause there for a moment. I'm not looking at anyone. Obedient to their parents made the list. Heartless, unappeasing, anyway. It goes on. You just want to focus on love and forget supernatural power and forget the divine wisdom. You don't have the love of God. You've departed. Now we're into lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, and lovers of money. Yeah, there you go. Okay, and then we move on to, listen, power is not as important, and you know, love, but wisdom, knowledge, and divine maturity. Let's just focus on being mature and of a sound mind. You end up with a focus on externals, a focus on formalism, and you have the spirit of Pharisees, the spirit of the Pharisees, which was no supernatural power. They denied it. They had a form of religion, but denied its power. And they absolutely had no love, not the agape love. They had a love if you were like them and you were part of the club and you were one of the guys. Okay? So he says, Paul says, absolutely not. This spirit is not fear in its power and love and of a sound mind. It's all three. You can't pick just one. And I just quickly illustrate it. You go into one, you start hearing just one from people, just be careful. We have to resist an unhealthy attraction to one over the others. We've been given a gift. Okay. Simply put, Jesus is our example. Jesus is the prototype of a man filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to know what does this look like? Jesus. Verses 9 and 10 tell us that it's these graces and these gifts, they were manifested through Jesus' appearing. That's verses 9 and 10 of 2 Timothy. We'll get to that a little later. When we try to look at other people, it is to look at someone in process. Okay, like if I look to Rich Robert or anybody else, I'm looking at a human being who's in process. A little rough around the edges. But in Jesus, we see the full glory of Spirit-empowered living. Jesus is our example of a man full of this Spirit that Paul talks about. Even looking at Paul sometimes, a little rough around the edges here and there. He says, no, we're looking at Jesus here, full of the Holy Spirit. And remember that this verse is in the context of Paul telling him and encouraging him to stir up his gifts, the use of gifts in the church, which we love to hear about gifts, and they have an absolute, absolute place. But as we live in kingdom normal together, there has to be a spirit balance of power, love, and sound mind. They all come together. As we exercise our gifts, as we step out and the Lord leading us and moving us, and of course we are because we haven't been given a spirit of fear and timidity and cowardice-ness, we're compelled to go out and witness with our lives, with our mouths, with everything that we do. The spirit we've been given is marked by power, love, and of a sound mind.